Church, and thank you for joining us, whether you're worshipping with us in person or whether you're watching us online, either live or later on during the week. Picture's going to go up there in a second. Saturday the 18th of December 2004, 10:35 a.m. That's not going to mean much to you people, but to me, that was the start of my love of birds of prey, and in particular, wedge-tailed eagles. I was driving from Darwin to Adelaide on Christmas leave from the Army, along the Stuart Highway, when on a straight stretch of road just south of Bachelor, I could see something in the distance. As I got closer, I could see it was a wedge-tailed eagle on some roadkill. As I got level with him, I was driving a Holden JD Camaro. As I got level with him, I turned my head and looked, and he turned his head, and we looked eye to eye into each other's thing. And that started my love. Not long after that, I was posted to 2nd Cavalry Regiment. Their mascot was a wedge-tailed eagle with the name Courage. To have the opportunity to actually hold that majestic creature was something I'll never forget. And as such, it instilled in me my favourite verse from Scripture, which is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, which says, "But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak." Please stand.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for every blessing you pour out on us every single second of every single day. We thank you that we all woke up this morning and can celebrate the gift of this special day. We ask a blessing on all aspects of this service, and especially on David as he shares a little of his story with us today. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Some notices that we need to bring to your attention. We're getting close to Christmas. Wow. Who would have thought Christmas pageant was last week? I assume some people got their Christmas decorations up. I can see Sharon probably has. She's already got a walker just because of Christmas tinsel. So that's good to see. All right. Some notices. The men's dinner group that meet on the third Wednesday of each month this week, or this, so on the 20th of November is our last one for the year. We will be at the Flagstaff Hotel, so down the bottom of Darlington there. If you would like to join us, please contact Neville, who's not here this morning, via email. He needs to know numbers by tomorrow so he can make the booking. And if you normally attend and you haven't already mentioned or said you'll go, please tell me you will go. Okay. We have a huge event coming up in the next 13 days. Christmas market. Now, Marge has asked me this morning to mention it, obviously. First of all, out there on the dresser on the right-hand side is a list of helpers that are required to assist on the day. If you can assist on the day doing whatever you can do, go and have a look at the list, put your name down, we'd be greatly appreciated. Also, this is a very big notice, which is going to be up and around the church. But there are some B5 size, whatever they are.
Smaller
than that, whatever they are.
Just say smaller.
Some smaller ones. And there's a whole heap of them on the table to the left as you leave. If you can deliver some of those in your local area, just in your local letterboxes to people, just to let them know it's happening, please take 10, 15, 20 or so and just deliver them for us. That would be greatly appreciated, just so people are aware that is coming up. Is that all you wanted me to say?
That's good.
On Sunday the 1st of December we will be having a congregational meeting. The reason we are mentioning this now is because we will also be nominating people for elders and church council. Those nominations need to be back by next Sunday. If you know somebody who you think would make a good elder or member of church council, please speak to them. Make sure they're willing to accept the nomination and then have the nomination form back by next Sunday so that they can be processed and the nomination forms can go out for us to vote on the day. And I believe that's all there is for notices at the moment. There was one other. That's right. Also, the rosters will be going out. I'll send an email out next week, or this afternoon, for the next roster, which starts in January. And that's mainly because of the Christmas rush. I know people go away, they may not be ready to reply to the email, which I'd like to reply by the 15th of December. Sue would like, and there was no substance before we started, asking if you would like to join us on the welcoming team. So standing there, welcoming people when they come in, please speak to Sue. Or alternatively, if you want to join, speak to myself, so that I can make sure you get a copy of the email that I send out to say what availability you have for being on the welcome team. That'll be for January to March, so first Sunday in January to the last Sunday in March. We do them on a 3-monthly basis. And I believe that's it. Colin, intercession please.
From Hildegard of Bingen. We have some lovely words I'd like to bring to you before we move into our prayer time. Hildegard seems to have been a very important person back in the 12th century, an abbess. In this particular piece, she talks about God at work through the Holy Spirit. So I bring them to you. Holy Spirit, making life alive, moving all things, root of all created being, cleansing the cosmos of every impurity, effacing guilt, anointing wounds, You are lustrous and praiseworthy life. You awaken and reawaken everything that is. So we come with our prayers and we share them together. O God, we come before you with our prayers, aware that we depend on you, who in Jesus trod this earth and who in the Holy Spirit touches our lives with hope and love. Many things crowd around us, and our need to share with you is so evident. Our world presses in on us on every side. The media reminds us that for all the lovely things around us, trees that bloom, birds that sing, landscapes that take our breath away, there are harsh acts of a person against person, lack of respect for property of others, and we sympathise with the waif of old who cries out, "Where is love?" Long ago, around this time of the year, in the light of the then armistice, people were encouraged to be mindful of heroic sacrifice as well as disastrous events that had taken place. And the people then and today were called to be mindful of this, lest we forget. Dear Lord, we remember the sacrifice of so many gallant men and women in the Great War. But we confess that people of this sad world have forgotten the futility and the pain seen in later wars. Forgive us, Lord, for our foolishness. We bring before you the uncertainty surrounding the American elections. We know how powerful that country is, and we pray that when Mr. Trump takes office, he is guided by wise counsel for the hope of world peace and for the care of even the least of its citizens. We bring before you current conflicts and the plight of so many refugees. We are not unmindful of nations too dealing with natural disasters, flood, famine and earthquake. O God, we pray for the leaders of our own nation, for women and men of stature, that we may be known as a people of grace and kindness and wisdom. Around us we are grateful for so many who see their mission in life to care for others. We ask a blessing for these people. Some of them do it as a vocation, others as a gift to the world. And particularly as we think about people working in many ways within the health system, we pray for the system itself with its myriad of avenues of care, some of which are just so baffling. And we pray for your continued guidance as new ways of treatment come to hand. We bring before you our church concern as it seeks a new minister. We confess our frustrations and ask your assistance as efforts continue to find a person of your calling. Help us too in this to be the church of your prompting in our needy world. We bring before you those suffering illness, our friends, acquaintances, and we pray for our own special needs as we face life's pressures. Lord God, we pray today St. Patrick's Prayer. May the strength of God pilot us. May the power of God preserve us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us this day and evermore. And now, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We've come to that time in our service now where we offer back to God a portion of what he has given us. Everything that we have is 100% God's, for us to use as he wills us to use it. Let's give a little bit back to him as we do our offering. Please remain seated. We're going to sing a classic old hymn, I Stand. Gifts be a symbol of our dependence on you, acknowledging that all we have comes from your hand. Help us to rely on you more fully in every aspect of our lives, trusting in your unfailing love and care. Amen.
My usual trickery. Good morning, everyone. There are two readings today. The first is from Isaiah, and the second is from Matthew. We'll begin with Isaiah, who says, "To whom can the holy God be compared? Is there anyone else like him? Look up at the sky. Who created the stars you see? The one who leads them out like an army. He knows how many there are and calls each one by name. His power is so great, not one of them is ever missing. Israel, why then do you complain that the Lord doesn't know your troubles or care if you suffer injustice? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary. No one understands his thoughts. He strengthens those who are weak and tired. Even those who are young grow weak. Young people can fall exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak. And Matthew continues these ideas. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. Come to me and rest. At that time, Jesus said, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you because you have shown to the unlearned what you have hidden from the wise and learned. Yes, Father, this was how you were pleased to have it happen. My Father has given me all things. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you and learn from me because I am gentle and humble in spirit and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy and the load I will put on you is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Journeys of Faith, that's the title I put in the grapevine for today. And today's kind of two things. It's a talk that includes all of us and God's presence in our lives. But there's a little bit in there about my story as well, and particularly in relation to music. And it includes some music, so it's not your regular Sunday morning talk. I love that image of the eagle Adrian showed us at the beginning of the service. The late Steve McQueen, the actor, one time, I think illegally, took a glider above the legal limit that a glider's meant to go to. And he kind of just got on the thermal and locked the controls and let the thermal take him up. And when he couldn't go any further, he sort of looked out the window and looking around him, there's a bunch of eagles just floating around on their wings, enjoying the thermal and enjoying the moment. I saw pelicans on the just above the River Murray doing that just recently. And same thing, you know, wings spread out and just being taken up and up and up by the thermal. And I think it's a beautiful metaphor in the image from Isaiah of being taken up on eagle's wings, of God taking hold of us and journeying with us as we seek to love God, love our neighbour, and serve the communities in which we live. This is a song I wrote in my second year of songwriting, which is nearly 4 years, more than 4 years ago.
40
years ago. It's one of my first efforts, but you'll get why in a minute when I get to the chorus. As I mentioned, that wonderful image in Isaiah of eagles. In the earlier part of the passage, Isaiah speaks about God. He writes this: "To whom can the holy God be compared? Is there anyone else like the holy God? Look up at the sky. Who created the stars, you see? The one who leads them out like an army, he knows how many there are and calls each one by name. His power is so great, not one of them is ever missing." Have you ever tried to count the stars at night? Good luck. The Milky Way is mind-blowing, just to see it on a dark night, it's mind-boggling. But God, according to Isaiah, created the whole shebang and knows how many there are and calls each of them by name. Now, three chapters later, if we were to read on in Isaiah to chapter 43, The Lord is speaking to Jacob and Israel, and we read this. But now, this is what the Lord says. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And get the next bit. You are precious and honoured in my sight, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Find it an extraordinary thing. The one who calls each star, created each star in the universe and calls each star by name, calls each one of us by name. I don't know if you've ever thought about that very much, but God calls each one of us by name, but goes further and speaks of our redemption, that we belong to God. That God is with us in all circumstances, using the metaphors of flood and fire. And we Aussies know something about flood and fire. Even if we haven't experienced them directly, we certainly know what it is to have those floods and fires affect our nation. And more so, the declaration is made, I am the Lord your God, your Saviour, and I'm repeating myself, I know, and you are precious, and honoured, and I love you, and do not fear, for I am with you. In these passages from Isaiah, I hear the words of Jesus, the one who created the stars. John writes of Jesus in his gospel, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And all things includes each of us. He knows how many stars there are and calls each one by name. Jesus speaking, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Not one of them is ever missing. Jesus telling the parable of the lost sheep being found and carried joyfully home on the shoulders of the shepherd. We've all seen the painting, I think, with the good shepherd carrying the sheep, the lost sheep on its shoulders. Do not fear. Who's never feared in their life? But a number of times in the Gospels, the voice of Jesus says, don't be afraid. To the disciples in general terms, to the disciples when he came to them walking on the water, to Peter, James and John at the moment of his transfiguration, they were terrified. Jesus said, don't be afraid. To Jairus in the middle of that crowd that day when he got the news, he'd asked Jesus to come and heal his daughter, and then he got the news that his daughter had died. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. And to Peter, right at the beginning when he called him, he said, don't be afraid. But then we come down to Isaiah and the wonderful metaphor of the eagle. I love that picture of the eagle sitting on your arm, Adrian. But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak. And as Sue intimated when she read the second reading for us, that verse I hear again from Isaiah, I hear the voice of Jesus inviting us to come to him and rest. Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light. Journeys. We're all on journeys, aren't we? Yes, no? I think we are. From time to time at the Vines, we've heard various people's stories, their journeys, and most recently, Renjini and Irene and Ian and Karen, two Sundays ago now. And each highlighted significant faith moments. In the grapevine on the 20th of October, I posed five questions we could ask ourselves and reflect on our answers. And I actually did that a while back when I was doing my course in spiritual direction. I spent a whole semester thinking and reflecting on life, and it was a wonderful experience to be able to do that. But the first question was, what have been the most significant faith moments of my life? So my own faith journey, believe it or not, has been imbued with music. And in relation to my musical side, there have been a number of significant moments, but two in particular stand out for me, though they were actually two decades apart. And the first was around September to October of 1962, when I was a wee bad, when on a family picnic I fell off a slippery dip and broke my left arm. I was in plaster for 8 weeks from there to there, and there's nothing significant about a broken limb. I mean, lots of families have kids who break legs or arms or fingers or whatever. But when the plaster came off after the event, my arm looked very emaciated. It was peeling, it was white. I had a huge gash right in the crook of my elbow where the plaster had cut into it, and I didn't even know that I'd had that cut going on. There's a 4-centimetre scar still there. I'll show it to you afterwards if you'd like to see it. And so a little while later, my mum said to me, not the same day, she said to me something like, why don't you take up playing the guitar to strengthen your arm back up again? So in November or December of that same year, mum bought me my very first guitar. It didn't look like this at all. It had a butterfly on it, would you believe? I thought I was the ant's pants. And so I commenced my first lessons and drove everyone in the house nuts, as you do when you're learning to play an instrument, because, you know, you make all sorts of mistakes and the guitar's not quite in tune and so on. Now, God didn't break my arm. No, but I do believe that from the breakage, he used the restoration of my arm after it came out of plaster to take up an instrument and take me on a journey that now has lasted 62 years. I didn't think at the time, oh yes, God's taking me on a journey. No, I was just learning to play an instrument. The second significant moment was in 1982, 20 years later, and I'd applied to the Anglican Church here in Adelaide to be accepted to train for ordination. It was a prayerful application process and something I think I had thought about since my teenage years. Having applied and attended a selection conference, that's what they do, they bring you along and you have lots of interviews over the course of the weekend. Chris came with me. I was knocked back. And I was seriously disappointed because I thought that's what God wanted me to do. And I said to the Lord at the time, after the knockback, Lord, I thought that's what you wanted me to do. What would you have me do? It was a real dilemma for me. But 1982 was the year I started writing songs. Not necessarily thinking that God was taking me on another journey, but the songwriting has continued ever since. And I can look back and know that from my songwriting, and from where I've written the songs from the Gospels, the Psalms, Isaiah, Revelation, some of Paul's writings, as I look back, I can see that God has taken me what for me is just an amazing journey. And it's in one sense, it's nothing especially amazing. But one of the aspects of that is I've never been taught to write music. And I've never been taught to compose the words of a song, to write the words of a song. It's just flowed out of me. And I think, to come back to the analogy of the eagle and the metaphor of the eagle and being carried by God, and we are all in the same place, God has just taken this 11-year-old kid who had a broken arm and started playing the guitar, and then out of a disappointment said to him, "What am I going to do?" And he's taken me on this journey that in songwriting has now lasted another 40-odd years. And we can look back on our lives, and I am convinced for all of us that we would be able to discover moments, significant moments. I mean, Jackie shared some of hers a couple of years back, wasn't it, Jackie? And Rosalie as well. And Marge. But God takes us and journeys with us and causes us to rise on the wings like eagles. We're all on a faith journey, and our Lord is with us every step of the way. And God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. At times we have to pray, as I did in 1982, out of disappointment. At times doors open that take us to places we would never have dreamed of. At times doors close and we have to wait. We have to wait. We have to wait. But as we heard from Isaiah, those who wait on the Lord, or wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. And that is actually a bit of a paradox, because I have to confess, I do get a bit weary and I do get a bit tired. But that doesn't change the reality of God's presence. I might have said a few times that I really love the Psalms. Have I said that before, Rob?
Yeah, back in 1973.
Psalm 131. I don't know whether you know it or not. That's okay if you don't. It has the beginning of it says, "O Lord, I am not conceited. My heart is not conceited." And I think when I read those words, I think, sometimes I am. But it has a wonderful message in it about waiting on God.
Conceited, nor my eyes lifted up too high. I do not occupy myself with schemes too big, with schemes too high for me. But I will wait in hope for you, Lord. From this time forth and forever, I will trust in you. I will trust in you, O Lord, both now and I have calmed my soul and feel satisfied as a child in my mother's arms. I have learned serenity and quietude. Oh, my Lord, I trust in you. From this time forth and forever, I will trust in you. I will trust in you, O Lord, both now and always. I will trust in you. I will trust in you, O Lord, both now and always.
One of the things I've learned from the Psalms, and there's been a few things I've learned from the Psalms, is that I'm not perfect. And the first line of that song, which is the first line of the psalm, "O Lord, my heart is not conceited," is just a reminder to me of the potential that I have to fall short, which is kind of a daily occurrence for me. I'm going to finish with a song that was inspired by John in the Gospels, the disciple whom Jesus loved, leaning his head against Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. And by Peter, when Jesus reinstated him after his resurrection. Imagine, if you can, you're leaning against Jesus' chest, listening to his heartbeat.
As I lay my head upon your breast, and I live my life at your behest, Lord, may I hear your beating heart. As you breathe your life into mine, fill me replete with your new wine, Lord. May I hear your beating heart. I've heard you ask, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. You surely know this heart of mine. I live my life for you today, at work and rest, may I obey and love, as you have shown your love to me. May I lay my life down for foe and friend, may I live my life as you intend, and love, as you have shown your love to me.
God, we praise you and thank you that your hand is on our lives, each one of us, that you're with us in every circumstance, and that you have been with us in every circumstance across the entire journey of our lives. We praise you for the hope that you've placed in us. We praise you that we can spend time to wait for you. But we praise you also for the gift of your Spirit lifting us, guiding us, leading us in all of circumstances through all of life. Lord, we don't always get it right. You know our hearts. But Lord, we can say, Lord, we do love you. Help us to live our lives for you today, in all we do. And we give you praise and thanks, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen.
When I lead worship and start the organisation process, one of the things I say, and I say to Dave just about every time, is I like to try and get a song that relates to the message, just to help either prepare you people for what's coming, or at the end of it, to solidify what has been said during the service. And I chose a song to finish off with today that I wasn't sure how it was going to tie in any way, shape or form. Now, the songs I've done before obviously have tied in really nicely with the On Eagle's Wings, but that vision that was put up while David was preaching of the bald eagle just hovering there with his arms outstretched and winging, to me, that signifies freedom. That bird is free to do whatever it wants to do. And this symbol to me symbolizes freedom, because a man died on that cross to give us freedom. The song I've chosen to finish the service was originally written by John Newton, and in the hymn book is Amazing Grace. And Chris Tomlin added a bit, "My chains are gone, my heart is free." Let's stand and sing Amazing Grace, "My chains are gone."
Thank you.
The words of this benediction, but they were penned about 3,400 years ago, give or take a couple hundred years. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine.
Peace.